You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to hour number two of our South Florida High School Sports Show for a Wednesday special night this week. Obviously, Monday being Labor Day, and kind of carry over everything for you tonight. Kind of a mixed bag, talking a little college football, talking a little high school football, which we'll do in our next couple of segments with Demetrius Mincy from Dillard and also Coach Patrick Burrows from South Dade. Big games over the weekend, probably none bigger than the two that we talked about before. Miami's win on Sunday evening against one of the best teams in the country. Notre Dame defending national runner-up. And then how about Saturday? A game that even though when Alabama was maybe losing 17-7, you say to yourself, well, we've seen this before. You know, I mean, Alabama will come back and they'll score 35 points and – didn't happen. Didn't happen at all because Florida State came up big, played Alabama heads up all game, used a great offensive performance, obviously, by their new quarterback, Tommy Castellanos, who not only was the leading passer but the leading rusher for the Seminoles. They got great defense, and they come up with an impressive 31-17 win and go from number 40 in the country all the way to 14. I'll tell you what, in the offseason and over the last 2 years, Chris Knee from Knowles247 has been, and I've said it, he's always maintained that, you know, he's been an even keel guy, never got too high, never got too low. Said, listen, you know what, that 13-1 season, you know, last year was tough, winning two and only and losing 10. But I'll tell you what, I give Chris credit because he stayed the course and he understood that with the coaching staff, with a couple of additions, things kind of turned around, and they have after game one. I know it's only game one. There's a lot of football to be played, but Chris opens up hour number two with us. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. Listen, I call it how it is, my friend. You've been that guy who has never gotten too worried, and you didn't want to throw in the towel. You didn't want to get rid of – you weren't one of those guys saying, hey, let's get rid of Norvell. You were just saying, let's give this thing time. Let's see what happens. And I'll tell you what, game one kind of turned out pretty darn good.
Yeah, that exceeded pretty much any and all expectations of the best-case scenario, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, it was phenomenal to watch. I think it speaks a lot to the fact that Mike Norvell was willing to change. He became more of a CEO in the offseason. He handed off offensive play calling, brought in Gus Malzahn. We saw the impact of Gus with what that offense did with keeping Alabama off balance throughout the day, putting Tommy Castellanos in a position to be ultra successful, as well as plenty of others. Defensively, Tony White comes in here from Nebraska, 3-3-5 system, a lot of variation to that 3-3-5, though he's not stuck on it just being three down linemen. It's a lot of different looks, a lot of different things, a lot of different bodies. And, man, the most impressive thing to me as someone who's been around this program for three decades and covered it heavily for almost 25 years now, that was one of the most physical FSU football teams I've ever watched at Florida State.
Yeah, Both sides of the ball, and certainly on the lines of scrimmage where Alabama, and you know, you've watched enough, Alabama usually takes control on the lines of scrimmage. They have usually big, aggressive offensive linemen and cat-quick defensive guys who end up in the first round. But FSU answered all the bells, and you got to give Earl Little Jr. a little bit of credit, somebody who played at Alabama, was recruited heavily by Alabama, but he was certainly a monster for FSU on Saturday. And I mean, you know what? I heard Coach Norvell in his postgame press conference and a lot of the interviews. And, you know, he just said, listen, our kids work so hard in the offseason. Sometimes when you get a lot of new players, it's a chemistry problem. And you can understand, everybody does. I mean, you get a bunch of guys who have come from other places with different philosophies. But he said the one thing that really surprised him, and he said you could see it in the late spring and into the early summer, is how everybody came together. Talk about that.
I mean, so on that point, if you think about it, FSU kind of flipped the roster essentially two straight off seasons. Right. And in 2024, it failed miserably. It just didn't work. They went 2-10. They picked the wrong quarterback. The offense had a massive amount of issues. They were relatively inept. Defensively, they weren't very good. And by the SMU game, which was about the fourth, fifth game of last season, FSU relatively quit, if we're just being a matter of fact. I think it's unbelievable that to basically have to do that again. And then you kind of nail it this time around. And FSU's had some great success in the past in the portal. I mean, 2023 had plenty of portal pieces that played a huge role in them being 13-0 for much of that year. But why did it work this time? I think because they picked the right people. I think they learned a valuable lesson from 24 with regards to, one, you need some alpha personalities. You definitely need one at quarterback. And Tommy Castellanos, he's not even borderline cocky. He is cocky. But the personality, yeah. It works. It's good. Like, they needed that injection. Multiple players, Luke Pettibon, for example, who came in from Wake Forest, excellent center for FSU, he calls Tommy a spark plug, and I think that's a perfect description. I think the other thing is they went and got a lot of guys who like to play football. They like to win. They are vocal. They're comfortable holding each other accountable. Deuce Robinson, who's a legacy, who came in here from USC, Luke Pettibon, who I mentioned at center on the offensive line. They brought in three other offensive linemen this offseason, all veteran guys. And it's just worked. It's clicked. And it's, you know, they talked about it all offseason. We're going to be desperate. We're going to have an edge. We're going to figure this out. You can talk about it, but to actually go do it and to do it immediately off the bat against such a high caliber opponent, I just think it speaks to they did a really good job of essentially doing a mass reset. And that's a credit to a lot of people that remained in the building from last year. Certainly a credit to a lot of new people that showed up to the building for this year.
Yeah. And you know, and you've watched high level games, you've watched Alabama against Georgia and some of the big games that they've played. When have you ever seen their running game look so basically inept? I mean, they got less than 100 yards. Usually you get that in a quarter. This is a FSU defense that, I mean, you know, it's funny because here's Tommy Castellanos, you know, like in the weeks leading up to the game, talking about how this is not going to be a contest and we're gonna run all over them. And everyone's going, oh, my God, what is he saying? I mean, bulletin board material. But I'll tell you what, you know, you had to feel good. You know, now moving forward, I don't think Norvell cares what he says. I mean, you know, go ahead, say what you want if you're going to back it up like that. And he certainly is. He's a dude. And as you mentioned, too, you know, the defense, you know, this is a defense that last year in some of those games, you look back at Clemson, you look back at the Miami game and some of those games where they put up no opposition. But in this game, that was the difference. They turned the ball over. They kept, you know, there was 2-3 and outs that were very important, especially when Alabama started coming back on them. So moving forward, and obviously, you know, as well as I do, I mean, the season is going to be long. There's a lot of big-time games, you know. I mean, certainly taking them one at a time, in retrospect, this is a heck of a game to start with. And, talk about that. Talk about this team and what you got out of some of the players at the end of the game. I mean, obviously, you know, there was a reality. And I remember one of the players saying, boy, if we only knew that all we had to do was hire Gus Malzahn and bring in a quarterback like Tommy, that's, you know, it was that easy. But they really flipped it. As you said, they really flipped the script in that game.
Yeah, I think one of the overriding themes from the players since the game concluded is that they had a confidence in the fact that they could and probably would win that game. And, you know, everybody bet against them. They're a 2-touchdown dog in Vegas. Everybody on this beat, for the vast majority of us, we all picked them to lose. Though I think I can speak for a lot of us, we thought they would fight and we thought they would battle because that had been such a theme of the offseason. It was kind of abundantly clear they'd had a very physical camp intentionally. But, you know, at the end of the day, on paper, you think Bama is a more talented football team. They win a four-quarter football game. That wasn't the case. FSU is still not a more talented team. Alabama still has more dudes on that team who play in the NFL than FSU currently has on their roster. It didn't matter. FSU was the hungrier team. They were the physical team. You know, Ashlin Barker in the first quarter pops Ryan Williams on a little pass pattern there, and Ryan Williams was never the same in that game. And Ryan Williams is an exquisite talent. Second-best receiver in his class behind Jeremiah Smith, who we all know, especially you guys down your way, know is out of this world good. So that speaks to they shut down a running game. And, you know, that happened to Bama a couple times last year. Bama against Michigan, Tennessee, I think they had one other. Maybe it was Vanderbilt. They were sub-100 in the rushing category. So it was sort of a sign that showed up last year. And I think that played a role in FSU's preparation or belief they could do it. But, again, you got to go out there and do it. The thing that I took away from Saturday is that they're relying on a lot of young guys, the Desir twins from down at Norland down your way. Sure. There are a couple that you can point to. Amari Williams is a second-year guy here, but he was a reclassification. So really, in reality, he's more like a first-year age-wise guy. A lot of young pieces, and some of those guys made huge impacts for them on Saturday. And when you have guys that are ahead of the curve, ready to contribute like that, and you brought in a lot of veteran pieces via the portal, and seemingly early on you've hit on them, it changes the dynamics. You know, most people came into the season thinking FSU is an 8-4 football team. I don't think you're going to find many people that still believe they're an 8-4 football team. If they played that well consistently, they can play with anybody on their schedule. That includes Miami, who's extremely good. Clemson, who we know has plenty of talent despite not playing great against LSU, and then Florida. Those are the big three that remain on the schedule. I think the key for this team is you have to be that every week. Like, and that's a big task. It's tough for 18 to 23-year-olds to bring the same amount of effort 12, 13, 14 weeks of a season in a row, basically. That's a tough task, a tough ask. That's tough for great talent football teams. FSU is filling the margins of talent with desire, want to, physicality, and those things. And if they can continue to do that, they're going to have a far better season than anybody projected them coming into the season.
Good stuff. That's Chris Knee, Knowles247. Let everybody know how they can follow you on social media. And obviously, some really good stuff coming into the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the company Twitter is Knowles247. Mine is CKnee247. And you can also follow our Facebook. I think it's Florida State Seminoles on 247 Sports on there.
Good stuff, Chris. I have a feeling that you and I are going to be talking a lot this year. And great job by the Seminoles. Great job by a lot of kids from the state of Florida. And, hey, listen, looking forward to that big game on October 4th, Saturday in Tallahassee. Hopefully Miami and Florida State will be undefeated, and it'll be a nationally televised game that will just be another one for the ages in this tremendous rivalry. Thanks, man. Have a great evening.
You too, Blue. Take it easy, buddy.
Good stuff. Chris Knee from Knowles247.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.